Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy. Big, big day in Washington, and get ready for a lot of this, friends, in the days to come. You've got the whistleblower that's going to come before the congressional committees. You've got a number of other things that the committees are obviously going to be looking into. But today, the big news, at least early in the news cycle, is that the transcript of the phone call in question was released. And I'm eager to talk about it with my next guest. He's the author of the new best-selling book called Defending Israel, Alan M. Dershowitz, the chairman emeritus at Harvard Law School. And it's I say it's a best-selling book. It's at number 8 on the historical Middle East biography list today, Professor. And it's been out for a few weeks. So congratulations on the staying power of your newest passion project, and thanks for making time for us today.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
I'm assuming you've had a chance to look at the 5 pages. I've read through them a couple of times. It doesn't seem to me that a quid pro quo by strict definition exists in this transcript. Is that trouble for Nancy Pelosi?
Well, Nancy Pelosi says you don't need a quid pro quo. What she says is all you need is some kind of a maladministration in office, which is, of course, what the framers rejected when they imposed constitutional criteria for impeachment. So I don't think it's a case for impeachment here. I don't think it's a case for criminal prosecution. What we're seeing is a little bit of dirty politics, and not the first time a president has engaged in trying to get information, negative information about an opponent. It's unfortunately all too common. You know, obviously the circumstances of this are unusual, but you still have to come up with a high crime and misdemeanor, and this just doesn't just satisfy that criteria.
Well, and even in the rereading of it, it does appear, Professor, that there's a broad kind of part of the section of discussion about stamping out corruption in both of their countries and the issue of making sure that they can do all they can to help each other in that. They both talk about being kind of outsiders that got elected, and the president of Ukraine is very complimentary of what Trump has accomplished, and he's kind of trying to say he's adopting some of those same ideas, bring non-politicians to the fore. When he does eventually ask him to look into the why the prosecution into Biden's son was stopped, it's in the context of that corruption issue on a larger scale. It seems to me that that's part of the conversation if they're going to be having it.
Well, not only that, I'm very close to that situation. I actually represented the former president of the Ukraine, a man named Kuchma, several years ago. And it's been an important part of American foreign policy to clean up the corruption in various parts of Eastern Europe, but with a particular focus on the Ukraine as well. Now, look, there's no doubt that the president also had a political interest in trying to put dirt on his political opponent. The conversation is not criminal in nature, and it's not impeachable in nature. It's the kind of conversation that every voter should look at and decide whether to vote for a man who does that or not. That's what elections are about. And it should be in the realm of, you know, they play dirty, you play dirty. They play dirty, you play. They go low, you go high, to quote Mrs. Obama. It's not. I think we have to maintain a very strong line between saying we don't like what he did and saying that what he did is impeachable or a criminal. It's neither impeachable nor criminal, but the American public has a right to judge it on its political merits and demerits.
Sure. And for those of you just joining us, Alan Dershowitz is the chairman emeritus at Harvard Law School. He's also a lifelong Democrat who I have greatly appreciated over the course of his career, calling it very down the middle, balls and strikes as he sees them. And he's had a lot of left and right personalities in his law school classes over the years. So he's impacted a lot of the people that both sides look to as examples in their particular political arena. Professor, let me ask you, the willingness of Nancy Pelosi to kind of Now, and I want to get kind of the technicality of this straight. She said that she was authorizing an inquiry. Leader McCarthy comes out and says, but wait a minute, you can't authorize anything. Only the Congress can do that, and we haven't voted on it yet. Now, granted, she has the votes to probably get it through, but was yesterday a little bit more about smoke and mirrors than it was actual procedures and political processes?
What I think it was about is trying to make Democratic Congress members of Congress who live in swing districts come out from hiding.
Get on board.
Yeah. Well, either to get on board or not on board. I mean, Republicans want some Democrats to have to vote to open up an impeachment inquiry because this will help them in swing districts beat those Democrats. The Democrats themselves would rather not surface their views right now. And so what I think Nancy Pelosi did is she pushed more visibility and more transparency. Is that good for America? Yeah, probably. Is it good for the Democrats? Probably not so much.
Possibly backfiring. Monmouth University just released a poll on impeachment, and these numbers kind of tell their own story. But among registered voters, 35 in favor, 61 against. Republicans, 2 in favor, 94 against. Independents, 34, 64 against. Does that, and Democrats are 69 for, 25 against. Anything surprising in what the Monmouth University poll is seeming to indicate?
Not only not surprising, but it shows the wisdom of the framers of our Constitution. You can't impeach a president unless you have bipartisan support. It's very difficult to impeach. You can impeach him in the House, but you can't convict him in the Senate unless there's bipartisan support. The reason that Nixon is the only president ever really removed via the threat of impeachment is because Republicans as well as Democrats saw that he had abused his office and committed impeachable offenses, including serious obstruction of justice. But the poll demonstrates that trying to end this presidency through impeachment is a fool's errand. And if you want to end this presidency, best thing to do is go and find a good Democratic candidate, contribute, vote, support, campaign for. That's the American way.
Well, doesn't that then betray a little bit of the trouble that they're in, that this is the length to which they're going to try to circumvent that?
I don't know. I mean, that's a political judgment, but it, I think in the end, will backfire. The Clinton impeachment backfired against the Republicans, and I think this would backfire as well. Democrats would be well advised to focus their attention on trying to run a strong candidate.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I think that you're seeing Elizabeth Warren surge a little bit. She's got the most complete policy layout on her website. Yeah. She's got more positions publicized than anybody else. And you really start to see her in Iowa, New Hampshire, and as of yesterday, California. She's got an 8-point lead. And in second, it's Bernie. It's not Biden. He's down 11 points lower. And I think that, you know, the idea that even Biden was the given opponent that Trump was going to face is a little bit of a, you know, presumption. That this was going to be usable by the president by the time the general rolled around. Professor, well, I always appreciate your insight.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
And get the book. It is really good. Defending Israel, the story of my relationship with my most challenging client, Alan M. Dershowitz, the chairman emeritus of Harvard Law School, and a man who really does call it the way he sees it. And as you heard him clearly say, nothing in this phone call says impeachment. Nothing says criminal wrongdoing. You may not like the fact that he asked about the prosecution and why it was ended into Biden's son, but that's not a crime on either level, according to Alan M. Dershowitz. Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.